for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black and mourning.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. We always talk to our man John McClain at this point in time on Wednesday. John, good morning. How are you?
Guys, I couldn't be better. Thank you for asking.
Davante Adams headed to the New York Jets. That's kind of where he wanted to go. We thought it could happen, and then maybe it wasn't going to happen. It finally does. What do you think about that move, and what does it do, if anything, for the struggling Jets?
First of all, he quit on the Raiders. Now, he said he had a hamstring injury. It's obvious he didn't. He's making a miraculous recovery. He's supposed to play Sunday, and I think it's terrible what players do today. They quit on their team when they don't, some of them, not all of them, of course. And that's what, and they get traded. He got what he wanted. More power to him. Aaron Rodgers hadn't played worth a darn. He threw Mike Williams under the bus for creating, he said, an interception when he had a wide open Breece Hall for the check down, would have been a first down. So they are a clown show. And Davante Adams deserves exactly what he gets, as does Woody Johnson. I've never seen a player in my 48 years of covering the NFL who has the power over an organization as Aaron Rodgers does. If Hassan Reddick had been buddies with Rodgers and Rodgers said, I want him in here, he would have been signed in the offseason after they made that trade. They would have redone his contract.
But here's the thing, John. The pattern is that the, you know, struggling franchises allow that to happen. Haslam gave Watson the guaranteed contract in Cleveland. You obviously know their history. You see this in New York. You know, I guess in some senses, Jerry does that in Dallas, but that's a little bit different. Why do these owners allow these players to control them like this? Are they that desperate?
Yes, they get desperate. And a lot of them, if you watch fans in the media, the Raiders fans and media were just dying to get Davante Adams. Pair him with his good buddy, Derek Carr. They've been best friends since college. They do it. They give up a one and a two, and then they get rid of Carr, and he goes to New Orleans. And so Adams was not happy after that. He didn't have a quarterback to throw in the ball. And so they get a three, and I do a weekly show in Las Vegas, and I told him yesterday, I said, anybody whining about that three, just look at all the big-time receivers in the NFL who were taken from the three on down. I said, look at the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see how many receivers were taken as a three on down. If you know what you're doing, you know, you can replace them, and the Raiders may use it to trade up to get a quarterback. So they got rid of a royal pain in the butt, and now he's the Jets' problem. And Garrett Wilson, I'm guessing, is going to be a problem, because he wasn't getting the ball like he wants. And now here comes Adams, the close personal friend, as is Alan Lazard, with Rodgers. And if he starts throwing in all balls, obviously Garrett Wilson's not going to be happy. If I was the Raiders, I would have wanted Wilson in a trade because he's in his third year. And he was really good, but they haven't been consistently utilizing him. And seems to me it's pretty obvious Rodgers is not the same quarterback. Now, be that as it may, they should have won that game. Flank two field goals, penalties, my goodness. That was one of the worst. For a close game, it was one of the most boring I've ever seen, and the officials made it so.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, John, when I look at Kevin Stefanski and he does his press conferences, I'm telling you, it's a hostage video, and I feel sorry for him, John, because there's an edict from above from Haslam to you got to play Deshaun Watson, and it's bad. I mean, to see what you're talking about, guys, you know, kind of take over the program and all that. He's just bad, John. What's the solution in Cleveland?
I'm surprised people don't see the genius in Jimmy Haslam telling him to play Watson. They continue to lose. They get a high pick. I think it'd be number three. It's a top five right now. They get a quarterback to replace him if they made the right decision. Keep him on the bench next year and then cut him and eat that last part. If they cut him right now, I think his dead cap figure would be $172 million. Russell Wilson's was like 85 for the Broncos this year. So they wait one more year, and then they get rid of him and chalk it up to the worst deal in history. Even Herschel Walker played well for Minnesota after what is still the worst trade in history and always will be unless a team does like the Cowboys and win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years with some of the players in that trade playing prominent roles. But that's the way they should frame it in Cleveland. It's all about tanking, which they showed they were doing yesterday by trading Watson's favorite receiver, if he can have a favorite receiver. Their backup safety leads the team with 2 touchdowns. And Amari Cooper, who was dropping touchdown passes, obvious his head and heart weren't in the game. So now he's gone to Buffalo and a chance to be a Super Bowl contender, at least a team that can win the AFC East. And, man, but the trading deadline's not till the first 3 weeks away. Can you imagine how many other people are going to get traded as teams jockey? They'll be closer to knowing if they're in the playoffs or in the running for the top pick. And that's going to be an exciting week in early November.
Oh, absolutely. Let me ask you thoughts about this. When Baker Mayfield, John, was in Cleveland, they're like, oh, he's not a team player. He's out for himself, yada, yada, yada. In Tampa Bay, it's a 180. Those receivers love him. I know he's with Liam Cohen, the OC that's down there. But the transformation, John, for Baker Mayfield, I think it's great. I think that's a really good football team, too.
He got humbled a little bit, bouncing around, going to the Rams, Panthers, and then his 4th team signed a 1-year make-it deal, and then he made it. And now I'm sure a little of it is being a growth on his part. One reason you see quarterbacks like Sam Darnold is guys bounce around from team to team, and then they land, and not always, but sometimes they land with a good owner, with a solid front office, with a good coaching and personnel staff, and they've got stability. That's what they've had there with Jason Light as the GM now for quite a while. And it's what's going on in Minnesota, and it's just a good fit. Some of them bounce around, never get a good fit. You know, you wonder, will Marcus Mariota at some point in his career get a chance to start if it's an injury or whatever? And then will it be a good fit? He plays well. And then all of a sudden, that's why they drafted him so high. And this happens so much. And usually it's not the quarterback's fault. It's the owner's fault for running a bad organization, for being impatient, for changing coaches, systems, personnel constantly, and doing the exact opposite of what you should be doing for a high-ticket quarterback. Carolina being a great example.
John McClain is with us. John, what do you think the market would be for DeAndre Hopkins if the Titans decided to go into sell mode and move on from him?
Oh, maybe a 6 or 7. I think it'd be something like that. But I think it wouldn't be any higher, I can tell you that. Maybe a conditional 5. But I don't know what kind of market there would be for D-Hop at this time of his career.
Yeah, I look at Kansas City that, you know, needs a receiver, and with some of the teams, you know, acquiring receivers yesterday, could they be in play? Or do you feel like, at this point in his career, maybe just staying put, a year-to-year deal with the Titans, would that be best for him?
Well, I think what would be best for him is trading to a team like what just happened with Amari Cooper. But, D-Hop is a possession receiver. A guy should be good in the red zone. Guy should be good in short yardage situations. He's not running post routes and getting behind the secondary. That was never the strength of his game. And when you have a quarterback and it's 3rd and 5 and you know the guy's going 6 and usually will catch it, doesn't drop many, and if he's getting single coverage, let him fight for the ball. You know, DeAndre's good at that. You know, since they're not going to throw the ball to Calvin Ridley, they might as well trade him.
that's a very good
point. Let me ask you guys something that I'm curious about.
Sure.
So I bring this up every week. When Amy Adams Strunk asked Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, tell me again why we paid all this money to Ridley and we wouldn't pay Derrick Henry $9 million a year or whatever he got. Why is that? What do they say?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think Derrick was ready to leave. That's our personal opinion.
Well, he's definitely landed in a much better spot, but I don't remember anything about him saying he wanted to be out.
No.
His agent saying he wanted to be out. He's certainly better off.
I don't think said it, like, publicly, necessarily. It just, you know, he did the goodbye speech, and I think he was excited of hitting free agency, truly, for the first time in his career, and I think he could see the writing on the wall that this team was not going to compete for a Super Bowl in the next 2 to 3 years, which is his window.
Well, if they did it to accommodate him at this point in his career, then that was a good thing to do. And then he's on his knees every night thanking God Jerry Jones didn't call his agent.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna ask you about Jerry Jones coming up next, because that's typical Jerry for sure. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask
get
why.
A job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out if what the team is doing right or wrong. If you are, or any 5 or 10 like you, you need to come to this meeting I'm going to today. There are 32 teams here. You're geniuses.
Jerry Jones. Dallas Radio. Oh, it's getting good. Woo! Chasing Big Joe, continuing our conversation with John McClain. He is brought to you by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. Visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. John, what are your thoughts on Jerry Jones? Things are not good in Big D right now.
You can't buy that kind of publicity if you're a radio station, and you guys know it.
Oh, I know.
That station, it's the Cowboys flagship. They're always number two to the ticket in Dallas, and everybody around the country is talking about them locally up there. They're all over social media. They're in the media. They could pay Jerry any more to get him to do that to them. It's the best thing that's ever happened. Their GM, their program director used to be the program director at my station here in Houston, and I know him really well. And I'm sure Jerry, who can't fire talk show hosts, he can threaten to move his games when the contract is up, but he doesn't have the power to fire those guys. They don't work for the Cowboys. And they've been on there for 14 years. They've been criticizing the Cowboys for most of 14 years. And I've known Jerry Jones since he bought the team, and I've never seen him react like that to criticism. And he's been blasted from the moment he bought the team. I think he's backed into a corner. He knows he screwed up by not getting a running back. He gets Derrick Henry thrown in his face almost every week. And he knows Dak Prescott, they're playing right now postseason Dak, not regular season Dak. He's got injuries on defense, and I think he's frustrated. I think he took it out on them. I'll bet you at some point he's going to apologize, either publicly or privately, because he knows he made a fool out of himself, and the team is a disaster. But despite what Washington is doing with Jaden Daniels, I think they're going to come back down to earth, and any one of three teams could win that division. And if they get their players back on defense, starting with Micah Parsons, and then Prescott starts playing like regular season Dak, then I think they can compete for the division title and a wild card berth, because a 9-8 record might win it.
Does Jerry listen to Steven at all, or is this still just Jerry's show, and it's going to be Jerry's show until Jerry's not here anymore?
He listens to his son, Steven Jones, who will take his place when Jerry is no longer able to be the president and general manager. And Will McClay, the personnel guy, is viewed as one of the best in the league. Several teams have talked to him about being GM, but he gets paid like a GM. And they've had good personnel. The move from Mike Zimmer from Dan Quinn has backfired because they've had three big injuries on defense. And then for whatever reason, pressure, no running game, all the pressure being put on Dak, he has not played well. He's throwing interceptions in the red zone he didn't throw before. One he threw against Detroit just like opened the doors to that onslaught. And Jerry Jones doesn't like being embarrassed, and he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed by Dan Campbell, and he was embarrassed by his own players, and I'm sure he's trying to find a way out. It's like a blind man going through a cave trying to find the exit. You're stumbling around, you're reaching, and you know where you want to go and what you want to do. You just don't know how to get there.
We're talking to John McClain on the Chasing Big Joe show this morning. John, in your 48 years of covering the National Football League, who was the owner in this time, those 48 years, who was so good because they just stayed out of the way?
Well, the Rooney family has always been outstanding. They're there. They're involved. They get involved in big decisions, but they don't tell their people what to do. That's the best owner, is the ones that provide the resources, want to keep up with what's going on, and then stay out of the way. And most teams operate that way, but some just can't help getting their fingerprints on it. In Green Bay, it's the perfect situation because you don't have one owner. You have a president of the board of directors, and they leave it up to the general manager who works with the head coach. And that is the best situation overall. But, you know, people say, well, what about New England? No, Bob Kraft's involved in a lot of stuff. He got lucky by hiring Bill Belichick to stick it to Bill Parcells and the Jets, and then they drafted Brady in the sixth round, greatest quarterback in history, so I would not say him. Clint Murchison from the Cowboys, he was a great owner. You never heard his name mentioned. It was all Tex Ram, Tom Landry, and Gil Brandt, and Murchison gave them the money and let them operate, and they were one of the best franchises in history.
Maybe owners were better when they all just gambled and got drunk all the time. John, let me ask you about the Tom Brady deal. You know, we were talking, Chase and I, earlier, you know, because of this deal with Tom Brady, he's not allowed to go into production meetings for Fox Sports anymore. I just think for Tom Brady, John, this is a one and done, and I think being part of that Raiders organization probably more important to him long term.
Well, he got $375 million from Fox, so I don't see him being a one and done. He probably took that money and gave it to Mark Davis to buy 5% of the franchise, if that was enough. Now, he's been operating under these restrictions since preseason games began. He can't go production meetings, can't go on the sideline before games, can't criticize officials. And one of the things I think smart, Mark Davis is going to want him to be involved in. He, like you said, he can't play quarterback, but he certainly helped me find one. And so he's going to have a role. That's one thing Peyton Manning has always wanted to do, be a general manager like John Lynch, even though Kyle Shanahan has final say on all personnel decisions based on his contract. Peyton has always looked for that and hadn't been able to find a situation where they would give it the control. And if I'm Tom Telesco, GM from the Raiders, who was fired by the Chargers, I'm worried about that. You know, what is Brady going to want to do? What is he going to want to tell me? Is he just going to chime in if I say, what do you think about these quarterbacks? Can you watch tape of these guys? What do you think about this offense? But not say, you've got to do this or you've got to do that.
He is John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, we always enjoy these chats. Thanks so much. We'll talk next week.
Guys, I always enjoy them as well, and I hope you have a great rest of the week.
Absolutely. You too. John McClain joins us, and he is presented by 12 Stones Crossing Golf Club in Goodlettsville. Visit 12stonesgolfclub.com to book your tee time. Experience golf the 12 Stones way. MTSU got a big win last night at Floyd Stadium. We'll talk to their head coach, Derek Mason, up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.